So you all know that the theme of 2015 for the church is forgiveness. And that was a theme put together by the four church fathers. And what we've been doing in recent weeks is looking at forgiveness from a whole lot of different angles. And today we're basically going to read selected passages from the book of Exodus, which based, honestly, it's like a textbook on forgiveness, right? It is what to do and what not to do of forgiveness, both from the side of the person who's done the wrong and from the side of the one who has been wrong and from the side of an independent observer who's got nothing to do with what's going on, right? So there are so many lessons about forgiveness that we can learn from the story of Esau and Jacob. So we're just going to read bits and pieces and then stop to discuss it together, right? So there's seven questions, right, that we're going to answer together. And you know, sometimes when you read the Old Testament, you think, oh man, what do I have to do with all of this stuff? This person, they got that person, and they went to this city and that city, and they killed this guy and that guy. It's not relevant, okay? But all of these questions, which you all agree are extremely relevant, will come from our reading of Exodus together. And the questions that we'll answer are, what if they did it on purpose? It's so hard to forgive when the person that I'm supposed to be forgiving has intentionally, purposefully gone out of their way to do something to hurt me. Surely I'm called to a different standard when that's the case. What if they did it on purpose? Secondly, when is the best time to apologize, right? So I want to say sorry. I want to, you know, like, put this behind me. Okay, when's the best time to do that? Is it straight away as soon as it happens? Is it a short time after? Is it 10 years after? Is it something in between? When is the best time? What if a friend is wronged but not me? So it's like an azalem by association, right? So like, you're upset my friend, so I'm not talking to you either, right? What does Abraham himself have to say about that? Okay, let's say I'm going to apologize, right? I'm going to apologize. I've been putting it off for ages. I finally built up the courage and the willpower to do it. Where do I start? What if it's not working? So have you ever apologized to someone and you just kind of got nothing? Or even worse, like, it seems that the problem's escalated, right? What if it's not working? And how should I respond when somebody apologizes to me if I've been wronged? And then just some closing statements about being giving in forgiveness, which we'll talk about. So, you know, it's really exciting that we can find the answers to all of these questions from the Bible. You don't need to Google it. You don't need to ask, you know, is the guy on the bus. You can turn to the Bible and the answers to all these questions are there. All right, so what if they did it on purpose? What if the person that I'm supposed to be forgiving has intentionally hurt me, has spread rumors about me, you know, has like pushed me down to push themselves up? What if it's intentional? Right, am I still called to forgive? So, a little bit of background. Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. Okay, Esau was the older, Jacob was the younger. That's all you need to know for now. So, I might just pick on someone to read the whole night. Andrew, do you mind just being our reader for the night? Can you just read Genesis 27, 21 to 25?
Isaac said to Jacob, please come near that I may kill you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not. So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father. He felt him and said, your voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he did not recognize him, because his hands were hairy like his brother, Esau's hands, so he blessed him. Then he said, are you really my son Esau? He said, I am. He said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's game, so that my soul may bless you. So he brought it near to him and he ate, and he brought him wine and he drank.
So a little bit of context. So Isaac was getting old, and then he called out to his son Esau, the older son. He said, I'm getting old. And as was the ritual of the time, he said, go, hunt, bring me some food, and after you brought me some food, I'll bless you. And it's a special blessing for the firstborn son from his father. And then Jacob overheard, you know, Isaac, Jacob's mum also overheard, who liked Jacob a little bit more, and said, hey, your father is about to bless Esau. I want you to take that blessing and have it for yourself. So you go and kill and get the food yourself and take the blessing instead of your brother. So he said, dad's blind, right? Which is good. He's not going to be able to spot the difference. But Esau's hairy and I'm not. So he's going to know. So he's going to say, okay, no problem, go. And we're going to get some, you know, sheep or whatever and put it on your arms. How hairy was this fight? We're going to put the sheep on your arms and like then your dad is going to think that it was you. Okay, and that's exactly what he did, and he got the blessing. Now, as we're going to find out later on, Esau forgave Jacob. Now look at Jacob's, right? Jacob's actions. He was deceitful. He wasn't accidentally deceitful. He didn't accidentally go and kill the sheep and then put it on his arms and then go and cook and then give it to his dad and say, bless me, dad, and say, oh, yes, it's me. It's not. So it wasn't like a slip of the tongue. Oops, sorry, didn't mean it. Right? It was like calculated. It was deceitful. It was intentional. It was taking from his brother. Okay? And yet, he still forgave. Esau gets a bad rap, right? After preparing this and reading this, I liked Esau, right? I had a, you know, he's a legend.
Well, that could bolster his memory. Why did his mum and Jacob want to take the blessing from his brother?
Basically because his mum liked Jacob more. Yeah, they had favourites. She liked him more, Abraham liked Esau more. So they said Jacob, like, he was a mild man. He used to, you know, like, he sounds like almost like a sensitive New Age guy, right? So, like, the mum's like, you know, like, not like the hardened, like, anyway.
Also,
Esau
gave away the birthright.
And Esau gave away the birthright.
Was this the birthright, or was this different
blessing? Or is it the same thing? So, it's the same. Nevertheless, Jacob, the take-home message from this sort of first slide is that Jacob's actions were intentional and deceitful and calculated, and yet Esau forgave him. And so the same is true for me. It doesn't matter if the person has intentionally tried to hurt me. I'm still called to forgive to the same extent. Why? Whose example am I following? Christ himself. They didn't accidentally nail him to that cross. Right? They didn't accidentally pierce his side and put the crown of thorns on his head. It wasn't an accident. It was calculated. It was intentional. Okay, and they've been working on it for quite some time. And yet, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So for me, I forgive. And that forgiving is without exception. There is no action that somebody has done that justifies my lack of forgiveness. It is impossible. Okay, so I forgive, full stop. There's no comma. It's forgive, full stop. Okay. All right. When is the best time to apologize? So, Andrew, do you mind?
So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand, and I'll kill my brother for Jacob. And the words of Esau, the older son, were told to Rebekah. So she sat and called Jacob, the younger son, and said to him, surely your brother Esau comforts himself concerning you by intending to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, arise, flee to my brother Laban in Haran, and stay with him a few days until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you. Forget what you have done to me, and I'll send and bring you from there. Why should I grieve also of you both in one day?
So Esau found out about what happened. He found out about, you know, the trick that Jacob had played on the father, and he said, I'm going to kill him. And what does the mum say? Go, run away, Jacob, for now, until your brother's fury turns away. Right? So I'll stop and tell you a little story of, like, when I was, you know, first year trainee pre-service, right, they put you in a class, right, and then there was two, like, girls' classes are easy, right, they're nice, and they sing, they eat, and they do their Bible studies, right, they're the best, right, the boys, they're more fun, but, like, they're troublemakers, and so two boys in little Sunday school had a punch-up, full-on, swinging, like, it was unreal, right, and then so I was just like, all right, I'm that fresh, new trainee servant guy, right, I was like, all right, after I separated them, all right, shake hands. Right, and they just looked at each other like they were just kind of ripping each other's eyes out. Come on, shake hands, you know. And then, like, the older, I can't remember who it was, but the older servant came and was like, okay, like, work experience guy, just like, just the right thing. Not right now. And so, like, it's really important not to try and reconcile a very tense situation in the height of people's fury. Okay, Jacob did, like, you know, you see, later on we're going to see that Jacob did all sorts of things to try and reconcile. He gave gifts and he was respectful and all this sort of thing. But in this situation, he just left. He just left. Okay? So sometimes it needs a little bit of wisdom, and when in the height of somebody's fury is not the time to just discuss and to reconcile. People need to cool down. That's just the that's human nature, right? Some people takes a long time, others it doesn't. The Bible also is very clear about the importance of not letting the sun go down on your wrath. And like I think that's a very powerful principle. Most scenarios, if you leave them for an hour or two and go back to the person, it's hard for someone to be like tense, wound up for 2 hours. It's exhausting. I've never done it. It's really exhausting, right? So leave them for an hour or two and then go back. So, you know, wait until your brother's fury turns away, but do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Okay, and I think that's especially important in the future once, you know, like we're all sort of married. Like, it's especially important. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. And if that's a principle that I can apply now with my mum and my dad and my siblings and my friends, it's naturally a principle that's going to apply, you know, in the future. And naturally it's going to be inherited, you know, in the children, and then all of a sudden this church becomes like heaven on earth, right? Because people don't know how to hold grudges. It's impossible. Okay, so the take-home message. When is the best time to apologize? Not at the height of someone's fury, but do not let the sun go down on your own. Walk away, cool down, explore it again a little bit later on that day.
What if there are like ongoing issues that extend over time and it's obviously not going to be dealt with in one day.
Yeah.
What do you do then?
So, I mean, like that's true. Sometimes they're very complicated things, and it's not going to be solved in one day. And there's a couple of things that we'll talk about that we can do. I think a simple answer to that question is, in this, the help of our confession father, okay, just for his guidance about, you know, like what I'm called to do. First and foremost, prayer about the situation and prayer in particular for the person that I have a problem with. Okay, but we'll talk about that more in a moment. Okay. Alright, so what if a friend is wrong but not me? Has this ever happened to you? Like, you see all this time in the movies, right? Like the girl, the guy breaks up with her, just sends her an SMS or something, right? And then her friends talk to the guy and they're like, oh my god, how are you talking to him? Didn't you see what he did to me? Right? You see that in the movies, and we probably do it to some extent as well. Like, Zalan by association, right? Like, you didn't do anything to me, but like, I'm Zalan by association, right? What does the Bible say about that? Genesis 27, right? This is, and I'll just read. And his father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" So he said, "I am your son, your firstborn son Esau." Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I have blessed him, and indeed he shall be blessed." So what's happening here is, so Abraham sends out Esau to go and hunt, right? Then Jacob quickly cut the queue and came first. But don't forget that Esau's still hunting, right? The guy's still hunting. So he hunts, and then he comes back. Imagine this guy's feeling like, you know, like, it's almost like, you know, the soccer players when they celebrate the goal and they're offside. That's how he must have been feeling, right? Like, he's offside. Like, so he comes and he's triumphant, you know, and he's like, I've got the meal, okay? And then his dad says, "Who are you? Who are you?" Right? And then he said, "I'm your son, your firstborn son Esau." And then Isaac trembled exceedingly. So the man is old, the man's blind, he's been deceived, and he's shocked at what's happened, and he's trembling. Right? The word trembling is a very powerful word. You're like, can you imagine, like, he's shaking, right? Because of the shock. Right? So the take-home message is that Isaac's pretty unhappy with what's just happened, because he's been played for a fool and he's been deceived. So he's shaking and trembling, right? And now, the next verse is, later on, Isaac finds out that Esau wants to kill Jacob and Jacob's going to escape, right? So he knows that Esau is very angry with Jacob. And probably Isaac has a right himself to be very angry with Jacob as well. What is his response to him as he's leaving? Right? It could have been, wait here for a second until Esau comes, right? Because let him give you what you deserve. That's what he could have done. Or he could have just been indifferent. He could have said, "Mate, you got yourself in this mess. Goodbye and good luck." Okay? Right? Or he could have been Zalan by association. Right? He could have said, "You upset Esau so much. I'm upset at you and I'm annoyed at you as well. You know, and you probably hurt me too." But look at his response. Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him, and charged him and said to him, "May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples." What? May God Almighty bless you. May God Almighty bless you. So, what if a friend is wronged but not me? Simple words of Anamed. Right? It's a complete, it's a Hollywood concept, not a biblical concept, you know, Dalem by association, right? It's nonsense, okay? So I love every single person because that person is born in the image of Christ. And when I do good to that person, I do good to Christ. And when I mistreat that person, I mistreat Christ, okay? So it's completely irrelevant, okay? It's completely irrelevant. This happens as well, like one of the very senior and respected servants in the church told me once that he had this issue with his wife, right? So his wife would kind of not be on great terms with someone, okay? And then she'd see him being really nice, and then she'd be like, you know, like, I don't like this guy. And his response is a very loving and very patient, right? And he just said, I love everyone. I love everyone, right? The fact that, and so that's what we have to do. I love everyone. There's no Zion by association. Okay? All right, so I'm going to apologize. Okay, so if there's someone that, you know, I should have apologized to a while ago, I've been putting it off, you know, but I'm not too sure where to start. So where should I start? Okay? Genesis 32, 3 to 6. Then, so this is basically Jacob had escaped, got married, had lots of kids, became very successful and had a lot of possessions. And now was coming back to his hometown and coming back to see his brother Esau for the first time in a long time. And then it says, then Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, and he commanded them, saying, speak thus to my lord Esau. Thus your servant Jacob says, I have dwelt with Laban and stayed there until now. I have oxen, donkeys, flocks, male and female servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find favor in your sight. Within two or three lines, we see him call him my lord, then he calls himself your servant, and then right at the end there, that I may find favor in your sight. Abunyo always says, the best way to deal with any person, right, whether or not they're a difficult person to deal with, is with love and respect. If you show people love and respect, there is no way that they're going to be difficult with you. It might last for a day, or two, or three or four days, but then as Abunyo Paul says, after that it just starts to become embarrassing for them. It's embarrassing. Don't you think? If somebody was treating me with so much love and respect, and I just kept on giving them a hard time or being cold and indifferent to them, after a while, that would start to become really embarrassing for me and I would be ashamed. Okay? So most people stop before it reaches that, but when it reaches that, people stop. So if you treat people with love and respect, okay, then you're not going to have a problem dealing with that person. Try it with the most difficult person in your life. Whether it's at work or at school or at uni or whatever, find the most difficult person and treat that person, right, with love and respect. Okay, it works incredibly well. Now I'll tell you guys a little story. Right, at the last camp, right, we made heaps of noise. Right, and then there was the camp site next to us. They were kicking it. Right, they were not happy at all because they had lots of young kids and this and that. Right, and so they, I think they came down and snapped at some of you guys. I don't know if anyone was there, but they came down and snapped at. Right, so I just heard this thing from Abunyo about love and respect. I was like, all right, I'm just going to do an experiment. It wasn't like any spiritual thing. I was just doing an experiment, right, to see what would happen. So I went to this campsite, right, and I asked for whoever was in charge. This feisty girl lady comes up with fiery eyes, honestly. She's like, is there a problem? Right. And then I was like, love and respect, you know. And I was like being nice to her and chat with Ed. Yeah, to cut a long story short, we went from, is there a problem, to thank you so much for coming, you know. Within about 5 minutes, with love and respect, you know, the formula of a bunyaku, right? And so that was just an experiment, and gee, it worked, it's fun, try it, you know. It's a powerful, powerful formula. And it worked for Jacob. He treated his brother with love. He treated him with respect. And his forgiveness was accepted. And if I forgive in a very cool way, in a dismissive way, you're like, oh, I'm sorry, lacking that love and respect, know that that forgiveness is not going to be accepted. That apology is not going to be accepted. In the same way that you can see a false, through a false apology, everyone else can see through my false apology as well. So with love and respect, it's powerful, and it's fine. All right, what if it's not working? Okay, I'm doing all this stuff, right? I'm forgiving even though the guy makes the hedge, right? And I'm treating him with love and respect and I'm still not getting anywhere. What should I do? What am I missing? So, and this is probably what was happening to Jacob as well. So he's coming back, trying to reconcile with his brother, and he sends a message saying, my lord and my lesh, and your servant, and I've got lots of gifts. And then what does he hear? In Genesis 32:6, Esau is approaching with 400 men, right? So it is not looking good. Right? Imagine this hairy beast with 400, probably also hairy beasts, right? Right? And it's like, man, this is not going well. Okay? What is his response to the faltering apology? Okay. Genesis 32:9-12. Then Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you. I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown your servant. For I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two companies. And that was just a reference to the fact that basically he split up all, his massive group, just so that to cut their losses if anything bad happened. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and attack me and the mother with the children. For you said, I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for in multitude. If it's not working, approach the matter in prayer. If it's not working, approach the matter in prayer. And you can pray about it every single night. And also, God is accessible all the time. So in the midst of the conversation, that difficult conversation, Lord help me, Lord bless me, Lord help me, I don't know what to say. Lord, give me patience. Lord, you promised that you would help me. Please help me. So if the things are not working, approach the matter in prayer. In your room, before the conversation, the time of the conversation, after the conversation, God will stretch out his hand and you'll see miraculous transformations. The other really important thing as well about prayer, in a situation as such, is prayer for the other person. I'm sure you're probably sick of me here saying this, but it's really tough to be angry at a person that I'm praying for. So choose somebody that you're upset with, and when you go home tonight, pray for them for 10 minutes. Right? Not just, please God look after X, Y, or Z. Right? Better be careful not saying your names. Right? Please God look after X, Y, or Z.
Ted.
Please look after Ted, right? But no, it's please look after Ted and bless his family and bless his work and bless his going and his coming and bless his service and help him in everything that he does. And if you do that for 5 minutes every day for a week, you're going to be best friends with the guy. Right? It's impossible to be angry with the person that you're praying for. And it's the quickest way, to deal with a conflict or to deal with a lack of forgiveness is to pray for the other person. Try. If it works, you're on to the best thing ever. If it doesn't, you haven't lost very much, right? It is extremely powerful. So what if things are not working? Approach the matter in prayer. Asking for the Lord's guidance and intervention and praying for the other party. Alright, now how should I respond when somebody apologizes to me? Okay, so I don't know, you might be sitting there thinking, man, why does this guy just think I'm the bad guy and doesn't want to, but what if someone's wronged me and they've come and apologized to me? Okay? How should I respond to that? What should my behavior be when somebody comes and apologizes to me? So let's read what Esau's behavior was. Now, Jacob lifted his eyes and I looked, and there Esau was coming, and with him were 400 men, so it's not looking good. Then he crossed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times, until he came near to his brother. So again, this is Jacob showing love and respect for his brother. But Esau ran to meet him, embraced him, fell on his neck, kissed him, and they wept. Okay? So imagine the image, right, of you know, Jacob is bowing and his brother is just running towards him, saying, look, forget about it. I forgot about the birthright. I forgot, chalas, it's gone. Forget about it. And it's not like, sorry, yeah, it's all right. See, yeah, it's all right. And then you just walk away, right, and delete them off Facebook, right? Yeah, it's all right. Like, it's I run, and I embrace. And it's as if nothing ever happened. And you know, like, it's like the prodigal son, right? And the prodigal son returned to his father. What did his father do? He didn't just say, yeah, it's all right, sit in the corner. Big party, man, as if nothing ever happened, right? And it's, and like, if Christ does that for me, when I return to Christ in repentance, right? You know? And he doesn't just say, oh yeah, sure, just go and sit in the back of the church, you know? Like, I'll tell you, last time, like, or recently, there was like, you know, I went to Abuna in the Mass, and it was something that I was really ashamed about. Really ashamed. And like, I didn't want to, like, you know, I didn't want to wear my tonya, like, I was just really ashamed. And so I went to see him, like, basically, just to confess, right? And I thought that was going to be the end of the story. And he was just going to say, okay, you know, see you next time. Don't be too long, like this time. But after we finished, it was during the Mass, he said, where's your tonya? Right? And I was really shaken, because it's like, it's not like you just come back. It's like enter into the joy of your Lord. Where, like you're in heaven. Like, it's forgotten. It's done. Where's your tonya? Right? And I was really moved, like, by that little question. And so when somebody else is, you know, like, has wronged me and apologizes to me, it's not like, okay, no worries. It's forgotten. Nothing has happened. We start again. It's forgotten. Because Christ does that to me. Right? When I, you know, do a shameful thing, he asks, after it's done, he says, where's your tonya? Come on. Yeah, right? And so I should do that for other people as well. Okay? So, it's a mystery. It's a mystery that despite, you know, like, just like we're saying in the hymn, you know, like, you look on my sin, like, on my sins, but you look at me with love. It's a mystery. It's amazing. So how should I respond when somebody apologizes? Accept the apology. Accept it completely. As if nothing happened. Start fresh. Start new. It's forgotten. Now, another interesting thing is, and they wept. He fell on his face, neck, and kissed him, and they wept. Why do you think they both cried? What do you reckon? Why do you think they both, like, who do you think would be more, like, should logically cry in this scenario? Jacob? Someone said Jacob. Why?
Because his brother did wrong in the first place. So, like, if his brother forgave him.
Yeah, so Jacob.
He's relieved.
Yeah, so he's relieved. The big hairy guy had 400 hairy friends and they were coming to get him. You know, it's relief. It's like, you know. But Esau also cried. Which probably was, maybe it's not in his nature or in his character to cry. It's a little bit inconsistent, right? Big scary guy. It's a bit, like, it happens sometimes, but it's a bit inconsistent. Why do you think they both cried? Why did Esau cry? Yeah, and because Jacob accepted his apology, and also basically because a lack of forgiveness hurts both parties. A lack of forgiveness hurts both parties, right? So Esau could have been walking around thinking, I'm justified, I'm in the right, he's a thief, he's a liar, he's a robber, you know, he deserves to die, okay? But then when all that was gone, he went too. So the next time, I refuse to accept an apology, or I refuse to reconcile because I feel in the right, realize that I'm being harmed as well. Lack of forgiveness affects both parties. Okay, and so when I let that go, I move from a life of bitterness, you know, and a life of, you know, really far away from God because it's not in his nature, to a life united to him and united to his body. Okay, so never think I'm justified. Now, I'll forgive you everything except this, right? That's nonsense, okay? Because it does mean more harm than good. And I'm sure I told you this story before as well, where there's a like a little analogy where there was a guy who had a really nice house, right? Big mansion. And so he, you know, basically he said, I'm going to sell it. So he walked out of his front door, and then there was a guy walking past. He said, do you want to buy my house? Man, it's a big house. I don't really have a lot of money. He was like, let's see for $10. Like, $10, you out of your mind? Sounds worth a lot. You know, the house is worth a lot more than that. Like, are you out of your mind? No, $10. He's like, okay, sold. And he bought it for $10. As the owner was walking out, he said, just one little thing. Do you see this nail on the back of the front door? There's a nail sticking out? That's mine. I was like, okay, we don't, no worries, man, that nail's yours. See you later. See you later, that one. And, you know, he didn't see him again for 10 or 15 years. And the guy was laughing, you know. He bought this house for $10, you know, it was all good. One day, the original owner came back and he knocked on the door. And he had a dead cat in his hand. Right? And then the guy was like, can I help you? I'm okay. And he walked around the corner and then just stuck that dead cat into his nail. And the guy's like, dude, what are you doing? Because what? It's my nail. And then, like, the parallel is that that house is my heart. Okay? And that nail that the devil owns is my lack of forgiveness, the grudge that I'm holding against somebody. And that cat is the stench. So even if the rest of my heart is absolutely pure, I'm serving and I'm praying and I'm fasting and I'm doing everything, but I have a lack of forgiveness, there is a dead, stinking cat in my heart wrecking everything. Right? And if I get rid of that, the blessings are immeasurable. And they'll be noticed immediately. God blesses when he sees that I'm taking a step, he blesses, okay? And he'll bless abundantly, you know, above we ask or think, you know, well-pressed, shaken, you know, like incredible amounts. So let's all get rid of the stinking dead cat from our hearts today, okay? Because it doesn't matter what else is going on, no one wants to go to that house. And Christ is not going to be in that house, okay? Let's get rid of that dirty cat. All right. I think this is the last one, and then we'll just do a recap. So we need to be giving in our forgiveness. So one thing that Jacob did, apart from showing his brother so much respect and bowing and all this sort of thing, he gave him a lot of gifts, right? And he sent him, you know, a lot of the gifts from what God had given him. And so Esau was like, geez, man, what's all this? He said, what do you mean by all this company which I met? And he said, these are to find favor in the sight of my Lord. But Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself. And it's a beautiful passage, right? Because we see in Jacob that he's not forgiving just in word, but he's forgiving in action, okay? And so if, you know, we need to be, like, in our apology, if I've wronged somebody, I need to make it right. I need to make it right, okay? You can't, you know, steal $30,000 from somebody and then say sorry, right? Like, we need to make it right. And then that continues with an apology. Okay, the other thing that we need to do is, like, look at Esau's response. Right? What did Esau say? He said, I've got enough. Keep what you have. He could have said, man, you stole the value of it is immeasurable, the blessing that my father gave. You stole that from me. And you think you can buy that with some sheep? Are you a joker? Right? You know, he didn't say, all right, it's a start, cheers, it helps, you know, it helps, not bad, right? He said, I've got enough. So, like Jacob, reconcile practically. If you've wronged somebody, you know, we need to make it right. Like Esau, don't insist on it, right? So, like, you see how, like, it's beautiful on both sides. Jacob wanted to give and to reconcile practically. Esau saw that, and he didn't insist. Reluctantly, in the end, he accepted, but he didn't insist. And so I should do the same thing. If I have wronged somebody, reconcile with them practically. Make it right, whatever I've done. And on the flip side, if somebody has wronged me, I shouldn't wait until they've made it right before I forgive them. Don't insist, like Esau didn't insist. I love Esau. Right, so some take-home messages. Okay, so We accept the apology even if the other intentionally hurt me. Jacob intentionally took the birthright of Esau. The Romans and the Jews intentionally crucified Christ. And yet, both showed forgiveness. I'm called to do the same thing. It doesn't matter if someone has intentionally tried to hurt me. That's not an excuse for my lack of forgiveness. Don't try to reconcile when someone is furious, and don't delay for too long. So when Jacob and Esau's mother heard about what was going on, and that Esau wanted to kill Jacob, she told him, escape. Okay? So in the height of someone's fury and anger, it's not the time to reconcile. At the same time, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. I need to practice it today so I can apply it tomorrow so that this principle is abundant in the church in the future. There's no anger by association. There's no such thing as just because my friend is upset with you, I'm upset with you too. You know, like Esau was angry with Jacob. Isaac, their father, continued to love them both. Right? Even though Isaac himself was also wronged and deceived, he knew that Esau was angry with Jacob, he didn't like take that anger and pass it on. It's none of my business, right? There's no anger by association. Alright. Start with love and respect for the other. Remember, Jacob addressed Esau as my lord. If you're having difficulty dealing with anybody, particularly in the context of a dispute, love and respect is the key. Are you working on your own or with God in prayer? If things are not working, if things are not heading in the right direction, it's a time to stop and reflect. Am I trying to solve this with my own human wisdom, or have I asked for the hand of God, the hand that moves mountains, to move this mountain from in front of me as well? Respond to an apology with acceptance, and remember that both Jacob and Esau wept at their reconciliation. A lack of forgiveness hurts both parties. Never think that these are my rights, you know, I deserve, this person has to apologize, I'm in the wrong, they're in the wrong, whatever. That is doing a lot of harm to me, whether I realize it or not. It's like a dead stinking cat in my heart. Christ is not going to leave me. Give in forgiveness like Jacob, okay? So he didn't just say sorry, but he gave, and that could be things, that could be time, that could be feelings, that could be anything. Give, but look at the flip side, Esau didn't insist on that giving before he accepted the apology. So if you've done something wrong to somebody, give in forgiveness. If somebody has wronged you, do not wait for them to give in forgiveness. Right? If they are somebody with that attitude, nothing's ever going to bother them. Right? Awesome. And I think that's it. So I guess in closing, the Old Testament is God. Right? So we need to, like, not to be intimidated by it. There's so many practical lessons that we can learn from the Old Testament. And this year is the year of forgiveness. This is the year that I let go. This is the year that I move on. Okay? The whole church is doing it together. The fathers are doing it, and they're encouraging us to do it. So, you know, hop on the bandwagon. Hop on all other sorts of useless bandwagons. Let's hop on a useful one for once. Okay? Okay. Does anybody have any questions or comments?
It's quite true that
you know, we need to set boundaries. So, for example, if somebody does a mistake against me, and then I forgive them, right? And then the next day, like, they make another mistake against me, and then I forgive them. And the next day, they make another mistake. Okay? It would be a bit foolish to subject myself to that every single day. Okay? It'd be a bit foolish to subject myself to that every day. In these situations, it's always best to get the guidance of your confession father to help you to draw where those boundaries are. Because when I draw the boundaries, sometimes I draw them a little bit too harsh, too far, or too close. I'm not good at drawing the boundaries. I don't trust myself enough to do that. So in that situation where you're not sure, okay, maybe I should forgive, but the relationship shouldn't be, you know, the same as it was before. In those situations, get the guidance of your confession father. And the beautiful thing about the confession father is you can ask them once, twice, three times, four times. Then you kind of get to see a bit of a pattern emerging, and then you can help start to decide for yourself a little bit more. So there's a lot of learning from these wise men. So it's quite true that you shouldn't repeatedly expose yourself to somebody who's intentionally trying to harm you. That would be really silly. Anybody have any other questions or comments? Glory be to my favourite uncle.
Thank you.
Okay, so just some announcements really quickly. First one is tonight is the first prayer meeting with Abuna Thomas. So this is what we're going to be doing every week from now on. It's going to be a prayer meeting about